Bibles if you brought them today, and I encourage you to bring your Bibles, even though I know we can get a little lazy doing this because, you know, or your iPhone or whatever you use to go to the Bible, but I still like the Bible, you know, so I like the book up here with me. And so I want you to turn to Luke chapter 22 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to do a teaching today on communion, remembering his sacrifice. And I know this is traditionally Palm Sunday, and so Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, I always try to do messages that are traditional with what Scripture, you know, what in the life of Jesus, what was going on. And so I began to study again, and I've looked at this for many years about Palm Sunday, and I was studying about when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. And there's a lot of messages and all that. I mean, how the donkey was provided, and it was prophecy from Zechariah, and just all the stuff that goes with it. And I was studying one commentary, and I just got to tell you this because it was you didn't want me to bring this message today, but this I was studying this one commentary, and the guy said, "Well, it started off great, a great week. Started off great on you know Jesus riding in to Jerusalem on the donkey, and everybody's celebrating him as a king. But then it didn't end right. It ended bad at the cross." And he said, "So that's relevant for you saying that your week can start great and end bad." And I was like, "Well, that really preaches. That really brings people hope." And I kept reading. I was like, "Surely to gosh, this guy's going to talk something about the resurrection." And he never mentioned it. I was like, "No, that message is not for me. That's not going to be for us because we know the end of the story." Amen. And yes, he did ride into Jerusalem, and everybody was, you know, shouting, "He's the King, Hosanna!" Like we sang today. And then by the end of the week, they were saying, "Crucify him!" But he rose again on the third day, which was Sunday. And so that's what we're going to celebrate next Sunday. And so as I was praying and just like, "Lord, I can go into that story, and there's so many things that we can learn from the Jerusalem riding into Jerusalem on the donkey and all those." The Lord just began to deal with me, and I texted Dusty and Mark earlier this week that I just felt like I was going to be doing a teaching on communion and that we need to have a understanding of communion. Yeah, I grew up in church like most of you did here in Western Oklahoma, and would take communion, and I just never, other than what the pastor said during the time of communion, but I just never heard a teaching on it. Never heard, an in-depth, what are we doing here? I know, we can simplify it. We all know that the bread represents Jesus' body that was broken for us, and the juice or the wine represents Jesus' blood that was shed for us. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And by the way, those that are watching online, if you want to go ahead and get your emblems ready, if you want to go get some bread, a cracker, some juice, some wine, whatever, get ready because we're going to have communion at the end of the message. But so what happened is I grew up in church. Just that was about my basic knowledge of what communion was, and that we need to do this, like that table says, do this in remembrance of me, talking about Jesus. And so that's what led me to do this teaching today, because most Christians, even believers, because I was a believer, I knew the Lord, but most Christians don't value communion because they don't understand it. They don't have no knowledge. They've never been taught. So, and that we just kind of go by thinking it's just symbolic, it's just emblems, all those things, and it's so much more powerful than that. If we come to that table with the right heart, the right attitude, the right frame of mind, you can receive so many things from this table and that table back there. And so, this other words for communion, there's, Holy Communion, communion, that the name of this message today is communion, remembering his sacrifice. Some denominations called it the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, and the word Eucharist is derived from the Greek word for thanksgiving. All right, that's where that word comes from. When Jesus said, when it says he gave thanks, that's in Greek, that's the word Eucharist. And I know that we don't use that in our church. There's some denominations that do, just so you understand. I'm trying to give you an in-depth teaching on this, all right? So everybody in Luke chapter 22 today, everybody ready to get started? Everybody excited? I'm excited to teach you about communion today. This is going to be good. All right, Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20, and this is Jesus speaking. And he says, when the hour had come, this is during the week leading up to the, right before the cross. It says, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them with fervent desire. And when I studied this, those three words just jumped off the page at me, and so I underlined them there. So I want everyone to say, with fervent desire. I want to get you in the Lord. His mentality was, he said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks. There's that word Eucharist there in Greek. And said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And so you probably heard those scriptures before, read before you took communion, and that's good, because that's where it was instituted at, with Jesus at the Passover. Jesus is the Passover lamb. This is a look at the Old Testament with the children of Israel, with Passover, and Jesus is saying, I am the lamb. I'm the lamb of God that's going to be sacrificed for all of mankind. All right, now we're going to turn to somebody in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, who the Lord gave him a revelation of communion, of what happened in what we just read in Luke chapter 22. And he was teaching the church at his, you know, during his time, and this letter to the Corinthian church is to us today too, teaching us about communion. So 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 32. And it says this, the Apostle Paul says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it. Everybody say, often. Okay, and he says, and do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And we're going to talk about that scripture that's been misinterpreted for years. In verse 28, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And when you read that and you don't have understanding of that, you're like, I ain't taking communion, because I don't want to be drinking judgment upon myself. All right, verse 30, we're going to talk about that here in just a second. Verse 30 says, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we were judged, we were chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. And I'm reading now the New King James Version. Now I'm going to give you, these are on the back of your bulletin, so you can fill in the blank. I'm going to give you five great truths that we need to know about communion today, all right? Is everybody ready? Everybody ready to learn something today? Okay. Number one, communion is a proclamation of redemption. Communion is a proclamation of redemption. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, it says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The frequency of the Lord's table is left entirely up to the church or up to you, okay? I've known of some people that do this every day. Every morning when they wake up and they have their quiet time, they have communion with the Lord. The Bible just tells us, as often as you come. It doesn't say how often. I think it can be so frequent, it becomes meaningless. I've been in churches like that where it was just meaningless. It was just going through the ritual, going through the motions. Or so infrequent, you miss the vitality it contributes to believing life. And so here at Harvest Fellowship Church, we have special occasions like today where we have communion together. But we make it available for every Sunday. And I was actually in a church that did that, that made it available every Sunday for people to come during worship to do that. I was like, I really like that idea, because the Bible just says for as often as you do it. So I need to make it available every Sunday as a church. And by the way, that's, you know, our little wafers are on top and then the juice, you know, so we make it, it's very easy. And if you want to take some home with you, you can do that as well. All right, as well as every time, this is what happens when you come to that table. Every time you come to that table, to the Lord's table, I proclaim the impact of the Lord's death, which is my salvation and redemption, and that costs something. It costs Jesus' life. And by taking the bread and the cup, I proclaim that Jesus purchased life and eternal life for me. Not only life now and life eternal for me. I also proclaim it by partaking with others, for the word communion means a sharing in common. And so we're going to have it together as a church family today. But there's a lot of Sundays, that's why I encourage you to come up here together as a family. Jade and I come up here, always grab Dad, and we have other family here. We you know, and that's our immediate family. I know our blood family, but we're all blood family here today by the precious blood of Jesus. And we'll have communion together. And there's times where Jade and I will do it by ourselves, and we'll come up here and we'll just thank God for our salvation. A lot of Sundays we'll thank, you know, God that Jaden, our son, is in his presence today and he's worshiping him and we're going to see him soon because of the promises that we have. That's awesome. You know, it makes you remember your loved ones that have gone before you and that are there waiting on you. And so what I just want you to get is you are proclaiming your redemption when you come to that table every time. All right, here's number two. That's the first great truth. The second great truth is this. Communion is a declaration of dependence. Meaning, we're not independent. I'm dependent upon the Lord, and I'm also dependent upon my church family. We need each other. We need the Lord, and we need each other. And I believe as the more that we see that we're seeing it today already, but the more we see the day approaching of the Lord's return, we're going to realize how much we need him and how much we need each other as a church. By and large, we've been, you know, kind of raised in this little bubble where we can get by with just ourselves, and we're just entering times where we're going to realize so much our dependence upon the Lord and our dependence upon one another. We need each other. And this is out of John chapter 6. And this is kind of a, everybody say hard saying. Okay, there's some hard sayings in Scripture that Jesus, and this is one of them. In John chapter 6, verses 53 through 58, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in me. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed.'" You're like, what in the world is he talking about? And I can just imagine what his disciples were doing. Like, what is he? He's going off on a tangent here today. Verse 56, it says, "And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread," he's talking about himself, "I am the bread of life, will live forever." That's Jesus speaking there, okay? So at the Lord's table, and I just want you to know what we believe as a church and what Scripture teaches. At the Lord's table, we don't believe that the bread becomes meat or the cup turns into blood. Jesus made it very clear he was talking about a spiritual reality, not a physical one. There are some denominations that teach that as transubstantiation. That's a big old long word, but that just means that they believe that whenever you take communion, it literally that bread literally becomes Jesus's body, and when you take the cup, it literally becomes his blood. And it's not; it's that no physical thing happens. It's just a spiritual. That's what these emblems represent: the spirit things. Life is in the spirit. Amen. Okay. So yet neither are we saying these are just a piece of bread and a cup of juice. Amen. Jesus said there is a working of the Spirit of God that will happen in your life when you partake. A measure of the Holy Spirit power will cause his life to nourish you. If you come in with, and you got to come to the table with receptivity, meaning you're open, you're humble, you're ready to receive, and you've got to come with understanding. All right? We partake in the recognition that we are dependent upon his life flow to us and among us as believers. We need the Lord and we need each other. Look at somebody and say, "Well, I need you." Okay, we need each other, all right? And so that's what happens at communion. When you're having communion, you are telling the Lord, Lord, I depend upon you. It's a declaration of dependence. And as we have communion today together, we're saying we depend upon one another. Amen? Okay. Here's number three. Number three, communion is a place for examination. Everybody say examination. Examination. All right. This is what the Apostle Paul taught. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 is the scripture. He says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And the Lord calls us to the table, and I want you to listen to this, okay, as his disciples. Everybody say disciples. It's one thing to receive Jesus as Savior, to become a believer, and another to grow into a believer who is learning. And everybody said, I hope you're learning today. You're becoming a disciple. And that's the definition of a disciple, and it relates to being shaped and accepting disciplines. That's a word we don't like to hear today, discipline. Judging ourselves, looking in the mirror, amen, not blaming somebody else. God's word, what the Apostle Paul said, this revelation that he got from Jesus about communion, was God's word says, let a man examine himself. Why? Because Jesus wants you to have periodic review with him to see how your life with him is coming along. All right? It's like looking in the mirror. The time to do it is at the table, because if we judge ourselves, he says we won't be judged. But if we don't correct ourselves, God will, because God loves us. I know this is something that we don't teach a whole lot. We all love God's grace and God's love. God loves those. He disciplines those that he loves, too, just like you do as a parent, okay? He does it out of love. God's grace is not a license to sin. Amen, okay? So how do you do that when you come to the table? First, you confess before the Lord your sin, your weakness, your doubt, or your fear. Because the Bible says this, guys, and I just want us to understand this, that whatever is not of faith is sin. That's what the Bible says. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So we've all sinned here today. Come before him and speak your heart, then speak what his word says about that, even if it contradicts what your heart says. And you may not feel differently, but sow those words you speak as seed and trust God to bring the harvest out of them. So we come to the table with a need to examine ourselves and see wherever the Lord is drawing us toward a strong point of discipleship. Okay? That's why you examine yourself, because you want to grow. God, I want to grow in my relationship. I've came to that table before, and Jade and I, and I'm just using this as an example, but a real example, Jade and I had a tiff that morning. Everybody know what a tiff is? All right? It usually happens on Sunday morning. I don't know why. In our house, I guess it's because I'm the pastor. But we have a tiff, and we get up here and we come to the table, and we just look at each other like, we got to let this go, you know, and get our hearts right. I've had that happen so many times, you know, to come. That sounds really good. So many times I come to the table and I got to get right in my marriage, you know. but that's the kind, what I'm trying to get across to all of us is that's the heart that God wants you to come to. God, I humble myself wherever I'm. You know, it's my attitude, it's my behavior, whatever. Wherever I'm not being Christ-like at, Lord, I'm judging myself, I'm examining myself, and I'm going to get better at doing that. Amen. But I need your help doing it. Amen. And God's grace is there to help. Amen. And then God don't have to spank me later that week. And God disciplines those that he loves, all right? I want everybody, there's grace. I love grace, and I love teaching on grace. There's also God's discipline, too. Amen. And we've got to have both because he loves us. So when I was reading John chapter 6 a little bit earlier, the hard saying of Jesus, when I was reading that and studying that, the Holy Spirit, and I told Jada this on the way to church this morning, and I told her, I don't know if I'm going to say it today, but then I just feel like I need to, just to let y'all know. Because when you come to this table, the Lord wants you to be stretched to becoming a better disciple. Amen. Every time you come to this table, amen, you know, becoming a better disciple. Lord, reveal to me, Holy Spirit, help me to be a better me in your presence, and, you know, a better representative of you in the earth. And so when I was studying John chapter 6, if you go home and study the rest of that chapter, after Jesus said that, his disciples were like, good grief, that's a hard saying, you know. And then it says that some of the people that were following Jesus left him after he said that. They left. And so his disciples were standing there, and he's like, are you guys going to leave also? And Peter said, where we go, Lord, you've got the words of eternal life. Peter had it going on. He understood, right? He maybe not understood everything that Jesus said, but he understood this man definitely is the Messiah. I've been around him enough to know he's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's got the eternal life. Whatever he says happens. He's God in the flesh here. And so Jesus was stretching his disciples that day. And so, and I was saying that, I was like, but Lord, man, a whole bunch of people left you that day. Were they saved? And I was like, and Lord never did answer that question. You know? So, Mark, that's just between me and them, you know? But he said, but they weren't disciples. They weren't lifelong learners. And this is what he told me, and that's what I told Jada. And I've seen this happen over our years of ministry here at Leedy as a pastor. There are times that God begins to stretch me. So evidently, as a pastor, I begin to stretch you guys. Amen. And so anytime this has happened in my ministry, and I'm just like, Lord, I just want to stay right here. Lord says, no, I want you to go a little bit deeper, Mark. I want you to go a little bit deeper. Anytime, listen to this, anytime, this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me through this passage, anytime you stretch people, you're going to lose some. And I've seen that happen in our ministry over the years. I've had situations here where I do a teaching on the Holy Spirit, and the next Sunday, vamoose, you know, they've left. And it breaks my heart because I'm like, and I scrub myself, was it something I said, something? But I can go to bed at night knowing that I taught the truth, all right? And so what the Lord began to reveal to me was like, Mark, that day I shared more truth to bring people deeper into me, and some of them chose to and some of them chose not to. And that's all the time going to be happening in your ministry as long as you're representing me in the earth. Some people are going to be lost in it because they won't go get into the Word themselves. I'll never forget the time I heard about, I'm going to just use this example, a teaching on the Holy Spirit that I didn't understand because I was raised, and I was just raised in an atmosphere where when you talked about the Holy Spirit, they almost related it to the devil, all right? Now, if you're doing that, then that's of the devil. Well, you're pretty close to blasphemy when you start doing that kind of stuff. And I knew, thank God I knew enough, even as a baby Christian, to get in the Word for myself and find out what God's Word says about it. And so that's why I always time go around telling people, read the book of Acts. If you want to know what the church is supposed to be like and look like, read the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. But some people, because they just don't want to take the time to get in the Word, they want to believe somebody else's, some denomination, some man's teaching about it. So I'm going to go find whoever is going to tell me the Jesus I serve. I'm in this thing walking with the Lord, and I'm still learning stuff about Jesus. And I told Jade on the way in this morning, I know we're going to be spending all of eternity knowing about him. We start this now, this discipleship, but we're going to keep on learning about his goodness and his love for us. So is everybody ready to be stretched? Okay, as your pastor, I'm going to keep stretching you and challenging you. And you're going to keep growing, right? You're not going to go, no, I'm leaving. I'm going to go find somebody that tells the Jesus I know. All right? Okay, we're all learning about Jesus, I promise you. Number four is communion is a place for reception of provision. Communion is a place for reception of provision. And a lot of people don't know this. You may have known those first three that I have shared this morning, but this is a biggie. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 29 through 32, the Apostle Paul says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. All right? And then I'm going to read this out of the King James Version because some of you probably heard this one. And then I'm just going to be honest with you. When I heard this the first time, I'm going to just say it like redneck as I can get. It scared the hell out of me when I heard this. And a preacher got up and said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And I was like, putting down the grape juice and the bread. I'm not having communion today. I'm not going to drink damnation to myself today. Because that's how I interpreted it. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. I grew up in a church like that, went to a church like that, and I was one day helping the church clean the sanctuary after we had communion one Sunday. And I came by the communion pews, and I could not believe how many communion cups and wafers that I found that people did not take because they heard that scripture, and I was just like, what I thought, they was just like, you know, I ain't doing it. I'm drinking damnation to myself. I found so many communion cups and wafers left in the pew. And as I was picking it up, I was like, Lord, you know, I need to, first of all, I did take communion. I hope I didn't drink damnation to myself, you know. And then I'm picking all this stuff up, and I'm like, Lord, but I need some understanding. I need to, because when I was picking them up, guys, I just, man, if I can bring this out, is I felt the Holy Spirit grieving. Like, Mark, I want people to come to my table. What I read to you earlier in Luke chapter 22, Jesus said, with fervent desire, I want people to come to this table. I don't want them to be scared of coming to this table, you know? And so I was like, Lord, I want to teach this right. And so listen to this. The Lord calls us to his table to receive his provision. And in verse 29 of this text has often been a source of confusion. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment, damnation in the King James Version to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And so what I want to do today, right here, okay, let's settle this right here and now, who is worthy to come to the Lord's table. And the answer is none of us. Nobody. None of us are worthy to come to this table. Partaking in a worthy manner, this is what this means. It means to ascribe the full worth to what Jesus Christ has done to welcome us into the presence of the Father. All right? It has nothing to do with earning a place of value or acceptance, or, you know, I was good this week so I can take communion. It has nothing to do with that. Jesus has made us worthy through his blood and cross, not by any accomplishment of our works. The full worth of our provision, of the provision of the Lord's table, is not only for the forgiveness of sins, but also for every matter in your life. The cup is the testimony that he has paid for everything that we need, spirit, soul, and body. And in fact, you can come to this table and receive, and a lot of people don't understand this or have not been taught this, is 1 Peter 2:24, Peter said, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, talking about the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He wants to bring that healing to you, spirit, soul, and body. And everybody said, amen. And here's the last one, and this is a biggie. Is number five, is communion is a celebration of victory. All right? Communion is a celebration of victory. Every time you come to this table, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes and his resurrection until he comes. In Revelation 12, verses 10 through 11 on this one, it says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. I want you to know that happened at the resurrection. Everybody said, amen. All right. I'm going to tell you what I said. It's been several Sundays ago. The highest form of spiritual warfare is your obedience. So when you come to that table and the Lord, you examine yourself and the Lord says something about an attitude you had. Betty and I were talking about attitudes. And I said, well, we're going to have an attitude adjustment today. Well, if you need an attitude adjustment every Sunday, so be it, all right? Or maybe you need to have an attitude adjustment every day, right? But that's what we do when we come to that table. And when we do that, when we obey and we get better, then we're not fighting the enemy. Okay, because you obeyed what the Lord already told you. But if you continue in that behavior, it just gives it, that's the devil's playground. Well, he's not listening to the Lord. He's not obeying, so let's go have some fun, you know. Let's go mess with him. Everybody said amen, okay. I'm telling you, the highest form of spiritual warfare is your obedience. The enemy has already been defeated. We just need to get that revelation. Now, to us to walk it out is just obeying what God tells us to do as we walk in our daily lives. All right, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Okay, this "do in remembrance of me," like it's wrote up here on this table, is the basic text of the Lord's table engraved on the front of it, and it's on front of tables like that in churches everywhere. In every passage where Jesus was instituting the Lord's table, he says that, but for many people, that call to remembrance is interpreted as gloom and doom, okay? As if Jesus is saying, remember all the agony I went through for you. And let me ask you, does that sound like a triumphant Savior? No, it doesn't. Yes, we need to remember the cross. We need to remember what he did for us. But I want you to consider this. In all the New Testament Gospels where Jesus is introducing this practice, it begins by saying, and he gave thanks. And he gave thanks. Here in Revelation chapter 12, we're prompted to remember that Jesus has conquered the power of the enemy. And what the Lord is telling us is when we come to his table, is that we are to celebrate that through the cross. Jesus has given us victory over the adversary. We are called to remember him because he's conquered all the powers of hell. Can anybody say amen? Everybody say hallelujah. That means praise the Lord. All right. That ought to be the spirit of our approach to the Lord's table. Remembrance of the victory that Jesus has accomplished for us. Okay. So we're celebrating the victory that we have in his name. I want to go back to what I started with in Luke chapter 22, and this is the scripture that jumped off the page at me when I was studying this. Jesus said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And so every time that you have communion, and we offer it here every Sunday here at Harvest Fellowship Church, we also, you know, have these special occasions like we're doing it today as we do it as a church family. But I want you to get this mental, this vision of Jesus that with fervent desire, he wants to have communion with you. He wants to sit down with you at his table, and he wants to talk with you, and he may want to correct some things, some discipline things. He's going to give you some attaboys and all those kind of stuff, but he wants to, communion is communion with him over this table, over these emblems, all right? So with fervent desire, he wants to do that. Just as Jesus, with fervent desire, called his disciples to come to the Passover feast, so he calls you and me today to come to this table and partake with understanding. We are called to proclaim his redemptive work in our lives, declare our dependence upon him and one another, examine ourselves that we might grow as his disciples, and receive every blessing that his sacrifice for us has provided, and then celebrate his victory over the powers of darkness. That's what communion is all about. And so I'm going to have our guys, this is the way we're going to do communion today, is I'm going to have Dusty has some guys set up, and so guys, whoever's helping Dusty with the communion, go ahead and make yourselves ready. And there's communion trays back here in the sound booth where Travis is at. They're going to come around, and they're going to serve all of you guys, okay? And while they're serving you, I'm not going to come back up here and say, okay, now we're going to partake of the bread and the juice. I want you, there's a song called Oh the Blood by Carrie Job. And we're going to watch this where it was filmed live at Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas, all right? And it's about 5.5 minutes long there. You can see it. And so while this song is playing, I just want you to sit right there, and they're going to serve you, and I want you to just worship God, and I want you to partake of these emblems, the bread and then the cup, okay? And I just want you to, this is just a moment with you, you know, 5.5 minute moment with guys, go ahead and start serving it. Right now, just wait, and then I'm going to keep talking. You guys go ahead and serve, and I'm going to keep talking, and then Travis is going to start the video. Don't partake yet, but until you get them, and then the worship starts happening. And I just want you to take this time and do what these five things, these five great truths, think about them as you wrote them down. Go back over them on your outline and examine yourself and do those things that you need to do here on Palm Sunday. And we're going to listen to this song today, and we're going to worship. And you may want to, you know, you may want to stand up after you have it and just worship God there in your chair and raise your hands, whatever, that's fine too. You know, or you can just sit and worship as well. And then after we do this, then I'm going to come back up here and close us out, okay? And if you don't know Jesus, thank you. Thanks, God. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now's the time to do it, right? Just call upon his name. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then you can have communion, okay? And yeah, there's a little bitty, I know that sometimes it gets stuck, so you may have to help your neighbor. This is why communion, we help one another. But you can lift that top part up and that the wafer comes off. And then the blood, okay? But I just want you to focus on the Lord. You do it in your own time, in this 5.5 minute time, and just a prayerful, worshipful time, and we're going to listen to this song.
Jesus,
Amen. Father, we thank you for your love today. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that he was obedient for us today, that he saw us when he went to the cross. He saw all of mankind. God, I thank you for our salvation today. And thank you, Lord. I know there's many of us here that have family members that have gone on before us, and they're there waiting on us and making preparations for us as well. And God, we are so looking forward to that big, gigantic family reunion one day that's going to happen at what the Bible teaches at the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we're going to do this all over again and give thanks to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for what he did at the cross and for the resurrection. And God, we're so looking forward to celebrating even next Sunday. I'm already looking forward to next Sunday when we're all gathered back here together and celebrating the resurrection. And but Lord, I pray that we would take these truths today and of communion, and God, that we would remember these things every time that we come to this table, or that we can, the Bible says, as often as we do it, we can do it every Sunday, or we can do it every day, on special occasions, all in between. But God, when we do it, I pray that we would come with the right heart, the right mind, God, the just everything, come into your presence in the right way and giving you thanks and remembering these five great truths today. And God, we just celebrate our victory today that we have in the name of Jesus. We thank you that, yes, what we talked about today was Friday, the cross, his death, his burial, but God, Sunday's coming. And Sunday already happened 2,000 years ago, and that was the resurrection. We serve a resurrected Savior today, and he is our Lord, and we thank you for that. And God, I pray that for all of us today that we would just continue to let your Holy Spirit work in our lives to challenge us, to mold us, to shape us into your disciples. God, to help us to be Christ-like so that we'd be great representatives of you in the earth. God, with our friends, with our families, with co-workers. God, there's so many people that are in each one of our circles of influence that need Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that they would see Jesus in us. As you work on us, we're all a work in progress. And so, God, we just thank you for that today. And God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you so much for your son, Jesus, and for the gift of eternal life that we have through his name. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to stand up in here, and Jada's going to join me up here. And I want to speak a blessing over you guys like we always do. But there's power in the spoken word, especially power in a blessing. Okay, and we're going to bless you guys today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Love you guys. Everybody learned something today? Amen. All right. Love you guys. Have a blessed week. And bring somebody with you for our Easter service next Sunday.